tonight. You continue to pray for him and Christina. And let's see here. Let's go ahead and stand together, go to the Lord in prayer. We'll have our first song tonight at Calvary, hymn number 57. I meant to mention something. If you'll just add my pastor, Garvin Walls, to our prayer list. Brother Walls is 82 years old. I talked to him this past week, and I talked to my dad. And that's just his health is struggling. He's on a walker pretty much for the rest of the time here on earth, and usually needs help to get up the quite large platform and stage. They've got a big step up and big 100 plus voice choir loft behind him. So just pray for him. He's down where after 15, 20 minutes of preaching, he's finished. And he just can't. And he needs help off the platform. You pray for him. There's nobody on staff that can step in. Nobody. They've hired people, come in, worked a few years, and none of them are patient enough to work more than 2 or 3 years or longer to be able to prepare to step in, and they end up leaving and going somewhere else. So just pray for him. His wife, his name is Gail. Pray for her as well. And then pray for mom. Dad seems to be doing well. No problems with his treatment, the hormone treatment. He's had any side effects or anything. I don't think I've mentioned before, me and my brothers tease him all the time and ask him if he started having hot flashes yet. But mom just keeps chugging along. I called the other day, nobody answered, and I was worried about it. I called my sister, how are they doing? And then finally my dad called back. Mom can't go up and down the stairs. My mom is stubborn. I know where I get it from. And she cannot go down the stairs. They have a basement, in a two-level house, but the bottom level is a basement. She can't get down the stairs. But she'll get in the car and have my dad drive her around the block to the back side of the property because dad built a road going up to the garage, and she'll get out and hobble over to her garage and her shop to do it because she still goes to the flea market every Saturday when the weather is nice. And so yeah, I think she'll have a flea market sign in her hand when the rapture takes place or the Lord takes her home. She just not wanting to let go of that, but pray that she continues to be able to do those things because she does enjoy it, and that dad, as well as his recovery with the treatment that he's going through. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll pick up where we left off. We should be able to finish tonight, finish up this section with a life of David, a gracious ending, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we read some of this last week. So tonight I'll just read sections that we go through that we'll use tonight. We've talked about it was a time of reflection this past week, and it was a time of responsibility. And tonight we'll go to number 3. It was a time of reliance or a time of trust. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's look at verse 10. And I'll go ahead and read this portion of it, and we'll look at a few things in this section. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse number 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Just a comment. When's the last time we blessed the Lord publicly outside of church? Just bless the Lord because of his goodness. And this is exactly, remember, he's on his deathbed. He's coming to the end of his life. Verse 11. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none binding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy the people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the image, imagination of the thought of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandment, thy testimonies as thy statutes, and to do all these sayings, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. A time of reflection, a time of reliance, a time of trust, as we mentioned here, number three. Notice letter A. David challenges the people of Israel to give to the work of the people as he praises the Lord here earlier that we read this past week in verses 2 through 9. Notice what he says in verse 9 as he challenges the people of 1 Chronicles 29. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with a great joy. Have you ever thought to think about all that they gathered to build this tabernacle temple? All the things that were gathered. I'm sure there was great sacrifices that were made. And here they are at this opportunity, rejoicing and praising the Lord for the opportunity to give and what they were able to do as unto the Lord. And so they do so willingly. And when they do it, David lifts his voice in a prayer of faith in thanksgiving and supplication unto the Lord. I want to look a little closer to this prayer that I mentioned here just for a moment. Here at the end of the road, David is praising the Lord in verses 10 through 13. He's praising God, this portion that we've read. Here he is at the very end of his road. He knows he was not able to build as he had desired to build for a house for God. He knows his son's going to be able to do it, but yet he's still praising God at the end. He still has a sweet spirit, as we see in the Psalms, a psalmist. He is able to praise the Lord for His grace, His blessings, and His sovereign power in verses 12 and 13 that we read. He is still amazed at what the Lord has done for him through the years, as he goes on in verses 14 through 18, praising God. David challenges the people of Israel to give to the work of the temple by praising God and for His goodness. And then letter B, David sets a great example for the rest of God's saints. As we see here in verse number 19 of our text, I'll read it again. And give unto Solomon, my son, thy perfect heart, and keep thy commandment, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and to all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. He gives example. He is still praying and praising others. At the end of life, it is not a time to let up on our spiritual disciplines that we have. Even here at the end, he is still praising God and thanking the people for what they have done. It's not a time to stop praying. Sadly, for many people, their prayer life improves when they're sick. Their prayer life improves when they have an ailment. Their prayer life improves when things come to the end. But that prayer life coming to the end should be also prayers of praise, because we have no fear. We're ready to meet the Lord. We know that we have served Him and lived for Him. At the end of life, it's best spent at the altar of prayer, without a doubt. Seeking the Lord, praising the Lord, and calling on the Lord on behalf of others. Here, the end of life shouldn't be full of wringing the hands of stress, but I'll read it again there for your blanks. The end of life is best spent at the altar of prayer. And at that time, we're seeking the Lord, praising the Lord as David has done, and calling upon the Lord for the behalf of others. The end of life is a time to draw closer to the Lord. I can remember as a young preacher, at times visiting my grandmother Cook especially, and her sitting there in her recliner, not able to do as much as she used to do, but she was always ready and excited about the goodness of the Lord. I've had a good life. I'm thankful for my family. Still a burden in some areas of some of her children, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren to come to know the Lord. Again, far too many people have the attitude that they have what they have by their own power and their own efforts, as opposed to praising the Lord for what He has done and what He has provided, as David has done here as it comes to the end of his life. Many people feel that their success in life came about by their own abilities. Well, I tell you what, David has set a great example of here. Yeah, he was the king, but he gave credit and all it was due to the Lord Jesus. He gave credit to God. He gave credit for the goodness of the Lord and what He had done and provided and how He used the people. Again, so many people fail to see the necessity for leaning solely upon the Lord. Who do we lean upon? Who do we go to when we call? I know it's good to be able to call someone and share a burden, to share a prayer request, but shouldn't that first call be through prayer unto the Lord, asking Him for help? I pray the Lord will help me to reach the end of life rejoicing in His blessings, thankful for His grace, and leaning upon His arms in that time when we come near to the end of life. He saved me by His grace. He has blessed me in ways that defy belief. How often do we even sit down to think about the goodness of God, but those times of delivery, those times of providing, whether it be big. We want to think of the big things, but I'll tell you what, I get just as excited about a lost box of music. I get excited about a lost coin, and right now when I get home, I'm going to get excited, hopefully, about a lost key. Yeah, I've had the car keys in my pocket, ready to go. Michelle says, you're not wearing those trousers. They're too baggy. I've got the wrong ones out. We need to pack those away. You need to go change. I was sure that I had my keys to the car and my wallet and everything. I changed my clothes, got redressed, got ready to go, reached in my pocket, and my key's not there. So we ended up taking the van instead tonight. But I'm sure that I'll rejoice when we get home when we do find that key, no matter how little it may be. But do we rejoice in the little things as well as the big things? It was a time of reliance or a time of trust as David prepares and shares his trust in God as he prepares the people to continue the trust in the Lord as his son takes the reins. Number four. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of rejoicing. I made this comment before. I'll just mention again in passing. It's not in my notes. It's a freebie. If you don't do it already, make it part of your devotions. Make it part of your life where you have a time of rejoicing, a time of praise. I don't know about you. It sure helps me feel a little bit better when I'm not feeling so good, when I'm having those gloomies and remind myself, you know, why feel bad when I can just talk of the goodness of God and spend a moment praising Him? Surely it's going to make me feel better. At least I'll be obedient when I'm doing it. If not, maybe it'll make me feel good as well. It was a time of rejoicing. Notice chapter 29 in verses 20 through 25. We've read those, so I won't take the time so we can try to finish up tonight. David's life concludes not with sadness, but with rejoicing. Let's go ahead. I didn't read that far down. Let's go ahead and start at verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after the day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offering and sacrifices in abundance for all of Israel. They didn't just do the minimum. It was in abundance as they sacrificed and praised the Lord. Let's see where I was at. Unto Israel. Thus, 22, thank you. And did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son David king the second time and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and prospered. And all of Israel obeyed him and all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon great exceedingly in the sight of all of Israel and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not seen on any king before him in Israel. He leads the congregation in offering worship and praise unto the Lord. They celebrate his life and they rejoice in their new king. David doesn't go out with a whimper. He goes out with a bang. Boy, the excitement of all the people, knowing they were saying goodbye to their king, but seeing his joy, his excitement, and knowing the end of his road, still praising the Lord, excited about what the Lord is doing, what has done, will do, and continue with his son. He leaves this life praising the Lord. The end of life does not have to be a sad time. If possible, it is possible to leave life on a high note and knowing that we have lived well. Back east, a church we were helping and not having a chance to get to know this gentleman. Right now, I've got a brain cramp. His name even escapes me. Good night. I know, Brother Cena, it's a sign of getting older. But he gave me a call because he was in the hospital. And he retired from the Ford factory. And him and his wife had visited there, had been going to the church, just a super gentleman, aging, he's pushing 90, loved his pastor, even though he refused to recognize me as interim pastor, but only pastor. And he called me to visit on several occasions. And when he was in the hospital, he came by and he says, "Preacher, I need you to come by the hospital again this week. I'd already been by earlier that week. I'd like to talk to you." And so I went by the hospital. He said, "Bring your notepad. My wife, Vicky, will be here." And so I went by the hospital and sat down. He said, "Pastor, I want to plan my funeral." I said, "Okay, you've got some news. I know you're not doing well." He goes, "No, I don't know that I'll be going home from the hospital." But with a smile on his face. He says, "I'm ready to go." And his wife was weeping. And I know I'm ready to go. I have no doubt. I know where I'm going. And preacher, like you always say, I know that I know that I know I'm on my way. But I've got some family. I've got some friends that don't know. So I want it to be a homegoing. I don't want it to be a sad occasion. Preacher, don't let it be sad. Don't let it be sad. I want a homegoing. He goes, "I want you to rear back and preach, because my grandsons will be there. My family will be there. Some other relatives I have will be traveling in. They're going to be there. And I want it to be a homegoing. And I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to give an invitation. I want it to be a homegoing. I want it to be a church service there in the church auditorium." And it stirred my heart as a preacher with this concern and burden for family and friends and wanting me to preach the gospel, wanting it to be a homegoing. And those are always enjoyable to do. And I said that to say this as I did my study. It stood out with that opportunity to talk to him, saying, and with joy in his heart, I'm going to miss my wife. I'm going to miss my church, but I'm going to be seeing my Jesus in the next few days. And I think it's important that we talk about it. And we did. Had a wonderful conversation, picked out the songs he wanted to sing, and even as far as along some things he wanted me to say, and even asked him a few stories that I knew about him, if it'd be okay if I tell them. And I said, "Well, I guess it really won't matter because you won't be able to stop me." And he just laughed, you know, just having a good time because he knew he was looking forward to see his Savior. And I can only think about how David maybe have been and maybe presented himself, even in his frail condition. Dear friends, when you come to the end of the road, still close to the Lord, still clinging to the Lord, still calling on the Lord, there is no reason for sadness, but just for rejoicing. We always mourn when death takes our loved ones. And that is right and is proper because they'll be missed. However, we mourn, we do so for ourselves because we know that we will miss them from here. It should be the other way around in many aspects. We're rejoicing and going, "Yeah, we're going to miss them." But if they knew the Lord, we can rejoice because we know where they are. 2 Corinthians 5:8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Brother Adams, I knew it'd come to me when I was reading something else. And we know that they are doing far better than they ever had before. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." Here in this passage, it is the dying man that is rejoicing. The one who is facing death, the one that knows it's around the corner, not only is he rejoicing, he's leading the prayer and praise time there in their little assemblies. They called everyone together. He's leading that. He does not seem to be upset by the fact of his earthly journey is over. Why? Because he knows the Lord and he knows where he's going. Here he is, the King of Israel. He's ready to go, giving it all this up, knowing that he's going to a better place. But yet, he makes a decision at the end of life not to give another executive order, not to do anything else in order to show his power as being a king, but he leads a time of rejoicing and praise and encouraging the people. It always bothers me a little bit when I meet someone who's afraid of death, especially a believer. It makes me wonder where they stand with the Lord. The believer knows what God has promised. We know what God has promised to bring his children safely home at the end of the way. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. See, the end of the road is not a time to dread. It is a time to rejoice. Can you see the end drawing closer? Have you taken the time or thought about it? How are you going to be and how are you going to meet others that day? Will you face it with dread or with fear? Or like David, will you be able to rejoice in the day of your death? You see, with the death of David, an era had come to an end. There could have been a lot of sorrow. And we've went through our study, we've known there's some of his sons that rose up and was against David. There was some turmoil and there's some things that didn't go well. But here, as we read our passage, not only were the people rejoicing, but even his other sons, his other family members, his other kinfolk were rejoicing in the decision and praising God, even in the death of their king and Solomon coming on the throne. There was a whole change of attitude as it approached to the end of his life. The lessons we have learned from the life of David, I believe, still should and can speak today. As we consider the end of David's life, let us also consider the end of our own lives. How do we want to finish the race? Like David, I don't know about you, I'm sure you do, but I want to finish strong. I know there'll be some crying. I know there may be some those that are their dad and sad to see their brother or see their son if I go before my parents. But I hope I have the courage, the insight, the forethought of something like David in leading them in a time of rejoicing, a time of excitement, a time of going over the goodness of God and what he has done. I want to remember his blessings. I want to carry out my responsibilities. I want to rely on the Lord and rejoice in him because I want to finish well. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Friend, if there's areas in your life that need adjustment, this is the time to begin to deal with it. Are there times of that we look at and are we have some broken dreams or things that we'd like to surrender to God? It's why wait until the end of life? Why not live, as we've talked about so many times over the last several weeks, short accounts? Are there some responsibilities that you need to fulfill? Are there some things you want to settle? There's no doubt there are some things probably that David knows he wished he could do over. There's some things he wrote in the Psalms, and especially Psalm, 51 or 52 with his sin with Bathsheba. But right here, he knows he settled things with the Lord. He wants his people to know. He's called all in his cabinet and the people and leading them in a time of praise over his and during his very death. Are you rejoicing? If the Lord has spoken to your heart today, let me encourage you and remind you, please hear his voice and respond to him. Take the opportunity you have today as we have health and the means. As long as we can get up and walk, as long as we can sit up, as long as we can think, there should be always a time with our lips and our heart and our mind of rejoicing and of prayer. And David is leading his people, even there at the end of his ending. And I can't help but to think and get excited and ask myself, will I have the fortitude to be that gracious if I'm on my deathbed? If it's not a situation where I died unexpectedly. Sweetheart, kids, grandkids, let's don't let it be a time of sorrow. I know you'll miss me. I'll miss you. But oh, how good God has been. Let's talk about that for a little while. Let's talk about the goodness of the Lord. And let me challenge you to keep living for him, serving for him. Do all you can while you can honor him. Dear friends, I trust and pray that your attitude and your thoughts are the same, and we all have not only a gracious ending, but let's strive to be gracious in our everyday life, especially toward one another. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and Again, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Word of God and this beautiful example as David comes to the end of his life. Oh, how gracious he was to his people. His thoughts were not of himself and just going to see the Lord, but he wanted to remind his people. He wanted to remind his kingdom, his family, of the goodness of the Lord. And yet still on his heart, though he would not see the house of God built, he still had excitement, knowing that it would be built and his son would be the next king and part of building that. Lord, help us as well to be optimistic to the end and excited about the things of the Lord, but that which maybe I could not do, that I can hand a baton to someone else to do it or to continue doing what I've been able to do. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Bless our time of fellowship. Again, may you be uplifted and glorified in our speech, our conversation, the things that we do and say. And Lord, may you continue to bring people to harvest. May we continue to love on them. May we continue to see souls saved. Father, help us to worship you with that desire of serving others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you. As preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.